The cold weather, though, it's about the same as it is at home, so I did not bring that with me, I hope. It's good to be here tonight. I tell you, we do love your pastor. He's been very dear to us in the ministry since we've known him, and I just thank very much of him, and I appreciate him very much, and we're thankful that we get to be here tonight and see you guys again. It's been a couple, 3 years, I think. That's probably 3 years ago, I think, since we were here, and I think I preached on a Wednesday night then. But it's good to be with you tonight. Romans chapter 8, if you would. Turn in your Bibles there. Romans chapter 8. I want to preach a message we've entitled tonight, Living in Resurrection Power. Living in Resurrection Power. Romans chapter 8, and I want to read verses 7 through 11. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Look at this verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Don't skip over that. Listen to what he's saying. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, so the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Let's pray. Father, help us again tonight. We ask it in the name of Jesus, Lord, to glorify You through Your Word tonight, to minister here to Your good folks here at this church and pray Your blessings on them. Help us just to give our attention to the Word of God right now, and I pray I can be an encouragement to Your people here tonight, Lord, to really understand and grasp the concept by faith a little more. Lord, of the power that we have in us because of Your Holy Spirit. The power is not us, but it is You in us. And I thank You for that tonight. And help us to understand this a little better this evening, that we might understand that we can be overcomers and that we can do battle with the flesh and we can be successful and we do not have to live in defeat. And we pray in Jesus' name and amen. Let me just quickly get right to the point this evening. I think it's important for us as Christians to grow in the faith regarding what it means to truly live in the power of the resurrected Christ. When we think of the power of the resurrection of Christ, we mainly think of two things. One, we think about the resurrection of Christ and how that is what saves us by faith from the penalty of our sins, which is eternal death. When we understand as Christians that faith in the gospel of Christ, which is His death, burial, and resurrection, on our behalf is what saves us from that penalty. So oftentimes, if you think about the power of the resurrection, you just think about, you know, being saved. Secondly, we might think about how that we have a hope in a future resurrection because of the resurrection of Christ. That because Christ died and rose again, we too shall have resurrected bodies, which is part of the promise of the gospel. So there is power in the resurrection to save us from sin's penalty. There is power in resurrection to save us from the very presence of sin one day and the new bodies we shall receive. But what about the power of the resurrection in everyday living? I think this is one aspect that oftentimes we overlook as Christians. And it's no wonder that many times Christians go around feeling defeated. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians 3:10, that he wanted to know the power of the resurrection. Why would Paul, aged Paul, the Apostle, want to know the power of the resurrection? Does this mean that Paul didn't know the gospel? Is that what he's saying? Of course not. Or was he confessing that he didn't yet believe in a future resurrection? Of course not. Paul was talking about progressing in his understanding of the power of the resurrection in context of what it meant to him in daily life. Because if you go back and look at that, you find that he was talking presently about pressing forward in knowing Christ, fellowshipping with Christ, and being made like Christ. Now we too need to know the power of the resurrection, not just in what that means in saving us from sin's penalty or saving us one day from sin's presence, but in saving us from sin's power in our life. We do not have to live a defeated life in regards to sin. God, Jesus has saved us from sin's penalty. One day He saved us from the very presence of sin. But listen, there's some in-between time right now. That's where we're at. And there's power in the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ and through His abiding presence of the Holy Spirit to be an overcomer over the sins and struggles of life that you face. Now, let me lay some groundwork of this truth and why this is truth to us tonight. First of all, a very simple reality is this: Christ in us. Christ in us. You see, Christ not only died and rose again for us and going to resurrect us, give us a new body, His Spirit currently resides in us as His children. In Romans 8 and verse 9, it says, if the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And as a matter of fact, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, then He says you are not one of His. The very presence of the Spirit of God gives us assurance, right, that we are what? The children of God. And we see that later in verses 15 and verse 16. The presence of God's Spirit within is God's down payment that one day we will be with Him in glory, and then shall we receive, if you would, the fullness of our inheritance that He has purchased for us. As children of God, we can know if His Spirit is in us. If you do not know that the Spirit of God dwells in you, right? Do you not know that? And you should, according to 1 Corinthians 3:16. Now, it's because of the Spirit of God. Now, I'm getting somewhere with this, because I think most of you understand this. It's because of the Spirit of God within us that we can call upon God in assurance and call Him Father, because we know by His Spirit that we are His children. And what a wonderful thing it is whenever you are struggling in life, whether it's temptation or doubt, and whatever it is you're facing, or maybe some sort of sin that has come into your life and you're trying to fight it, and you as a child can get on your knees and with the assurance of the Holy Spirit say, Father, help me. And there's power in that, through that Holy Spirit within you. There's power when you know that you're a child of God because that Spirit is in you. When we live in doubt as to whether or not we are a child of God, it will greatly affect our ability and strength to overcome the desires of the flesh. So hopefully you're seeing a little bit of a connection here. The Spirit within tells us we are a child of God, is the same Spirit that also one day quickens our mortal bodies. We see that in verse 11 we read. You see, the Spirit that raised up Jesus is the Spirit that dwells in us. And that Spirit that dwells in us is the Spirit that enables us to mortify the flesh. You see, we don't overcome the flesh through the energy of our own flesh, right? We overcome the fleshly desires through the energy and the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit that is within us. What Christ overcame for us, we can overcome as well because His Spirit is in us. The power of the Spirit of Christ that raised Him from the dead dwells in you as a child of God. Think about the power of the resurrection of Christ. All of those sins, our sins, laid upon Him, and He died there on the cross, was buried, and 3 glorious days through the Spirit of God, He raises again in power and victory. That Spirit is in you. And too many times we walk around with our heads down with a defeated attitude. I just can't overcome, you know. We can put off the old man. And we can put on the new man because the new man is greater. Now, another truth you're familiar with, a new heart. Let's talk about his new heart for a moment. In Romans chapter 8, notice how many times that Paul talked about the flesh here, okay? In verse 1, he says, who walk not after the flesh. Verse 3, weak through the flesh and keeping the law. Verse 4, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 5, talks about those who mind the things of the flesh. And so far in verse 8, we read that, and also again in verse 9. The flesh is a reference to the old Adamic nature that is dead in trespasses and sins. And before we were saved, before we received a new nature, we weren't trying to please God. And I think I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but I want to take it a little bit further. We didn't even want to please God. We only wanted to please ourselves. That fleshly nature, as you know, is at enmity with God. And we have a good understanding probably of that in the Lord's churches, that we were dead without Jesus Christ. We were in darkness, blind, spiritually deaf and lame. All of those things are used to describe different aspects of that old man. Our old man, our old self, our old nature was what ruled our life, right? It reigned over us and it reigned in us, right? We obeyed the desires of the flesh and of our corrupt minds. Of that old nature or old self, there was nothing righteous, the Word tells us, right? In Isaiah 64:6, I mean, we were all as an unclean thing, right? All of our righteousness as filthy rags, all faded as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind had taken us away. We were in bondage to that nature. We could not set ourselves free from it, nor did we even desire to be rescued at times, did we? Paul knew, and we should know, that in our fleshly nature dwells no good thing. I think you understand that. But listen, when we become Christians, the old nature is not gone. And the old nature, listen, when you understand sanctification, becoming more like Christ, the old nature is not being changed into a better person even after you're a child of God. He's not being changed into a better person. The old nature is still as evil as he ever was. And we need to understand this about ourselves, that there still resides within us a nature that opposes Christ, the Word, and true righteousness. That's why we're called upon the Word of God to daily, in Colossians and in Ephesians, to put off the old man and to put on the new man, which is created after Christ in righteousness and true holiness. Now the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 7, acknowledges to us, very familiar, right? Romans 7, that the old man was still very much at work within him, didn't he? In Romans 7 and verse 18 through 24, you're familiar with that, right? There's that struggle, you know, he's back and forth. And so we see that struggle in Romans 7. Romans chapter 8, where we've been, he talks about the flesh in the first few verses. He's still talking about that struggle, folks. And then on and where we read, now he's telling you, But you don't have to be defeated. You have the Spirit of the risen Christ in you. It's interesting, after he talks about the struggle in 7, he goes on to teach us, but you don't have to live after the flesh, but in the Spirit. So yes, there is a struggle, but through the Spirit of Christ in you, you can overcome your flesh. Through the Spirit, we can mortify the deeds of the body. You do not have to obey the flesh. Now we're not only set free from sin's penalty. We're no longer just set free from sin's presence one day. But we are no longer in bondage to sin's power in our life. It's the power of the resurrected Christ living in us that sets us free. The old nature hasn't changed. He's still there, but listen, his position has changed. His position has changed. He no longer reigns in us. In Romans chapter 6, we won't read all these verses for the sake of time, but in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 through 14, we see this as that chapter unfolds. We see him talking there in verse 12 about sin Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are what? Alive from the dead. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. He's not talking about salvation there, folks. He's talking about living for Christ. Paul wanted them to know that they were to live a resurrected life, and they could live a resurrected life because death no more had dominion. You do not have to let sin reign in our bodies. Now, why am I talking about this? Because even Christians today, we have a tendency sometimes to say, well, you know, we're still just human. Well, you know, that old nature sure is bad. And we excuse ourselves because, well, we know how bad that old nature is. What's the Word of God teaching us? You do not have to obey it. It's not ruling over you. So when you see what Paul is teaching them here, it teaches us some things. As we said, one, it destroys any type of excuse a child of God could give for sinning. You can't even blame your old nature. That really stinks, doesn't it? I kind of like that. Well, it's that old man, you know, he sure is bad, you know. You can't even blame him because you have another spirit in you that is bigger and better, holier, all of that than he is, and you can overcome when you yield yourselves to that spirit. We can't even blame other people. That really stinks. I like to blame other people for my faults. You know, godly people can help you stay on the right path and can be used of God. But let me tell you what, an ungodly person cannot ever make you sin. I think that you should be around good company, you know. I mean, we know evil communication corrupts good manners, all of those things. And so you got to be careful of those things, right? When it comes down to it, as a child of God, nobody can make you sin. Nobody can make you sin. You can't blame your parents if you're all bad now. You can't blame society. You can't blame your culture. It's you. We are tempted and we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. The sin wouldn't be tempting to you if it wasn't for the old nature. The old man is still in us and still wants to sin. But glory be to God, he's not in charge. You don't have to listen. You don't have to follow. You do not have to yield. And two, it teaches us that when we have failed as a child of God, we don't have to live in constant defeat and continue in sin. Say, well, this is just my besetting sin, preacher. I just can't seem to get over my besetting sin. And some Christians talk about their besetting sin like it's some little pet sin God gave them they didn't have to be concerned about because they'll never have any victory over that one. Now, I think we need to be careful about overemphasizing in our conversation and our mind the old nature more than the new. I've seen a tendency among people of God. I've seen churches that all they ever preached about was the old depraved nature. It's like it's all they ever talked about. And you know what? It beats people down. Now, I'm not saying we need to change our theology by no means, but if that's all we focus on, and we don't encourage people in the reality of the presence of Christ in our life, in our soul, to be able to overcome sin today, then we're not empowering people through faith in the Word of God and the work of the gospel in their life. Let us encourage one another in the faith by pointing to the power of the resurrected Christ who lives in us and has more strength than the old man. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and greater is the Spirit of Christ in you than that old you, that old nature. We once only had an unholy nature that loved sin, but now we have another nature that loves holiness and hates sin. And God promised us that he would do that, didn't he? In Ezekiel 36, he said, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Listen, God isn't changing the old heart. He gave us another one. He gave us a new one. Now we have two hearts. We have two places within us with two different affections. We still have the old man that loves the things of the world and unrighteousness. And now we have a new heart which loves Christ and righteousness. And the problem that I'm seeing sometimes with people who do not have a proper understanding of the old nature is that they sometimes act like he's still in charge, or they've never been given a new heart. Even Christians say some things today like that. They know Jeremiah 17:9 well. Well, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, that's true. But as a child of God, he's given you a new heart. You can't pull out Jeremiah 17:9 every time you want to do something bad. You know? He's been giving us a new heart. God told Israel in Jeremiah 31:33, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Are we living more in the reality of the old man that is still within us, or living in the power of the resurrected Christ that has given us his spirit and changed or given us new hearts? We have received the spirit of Christ Jesus, so walk in him. I love the lyrics to this song called Redeemed, sung by a name by Big Daddy Weave. I really wished he would have changed his name or something, but anyhow, there's a good story about why he goes by that. But anyhow, I'll listen to the words of this song. Seems like all I can see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures, wondering, how long is this going to last? Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed, you set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. I'm redeemed. All my life I've been called unworthy, named by the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head, I remember, O God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed, you set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. I'll wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. And this next line, because I don't have to be the old man inside of me. You don't have to be, because his day is long dead and gone, because I've got a new name, a new life. I'm not the same, and I hope that will carry me on. I am redeemed. You set me free, so I'll shake off these heavy chains. I love that, don't you? You don't have to be the old man. As a child of God, born of the Spirit of the Lord, you have a new heart, a new spirit within you. Do you know tonight, if you're truly living in the power of the resurrection? I think that, no doubt, probably tonight, if I say, are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone to save you from your sin? You'll say, yes. But you're only thinking about salvation in the sense of, you know, being saved from sin's penalty. If I ask you, are you certain of when you die and you Jesus Christ comes back, you really believe you have a resurrected body? Yes, I believe that. What about this? Whatever stronghold is in your life right now, whatever sin that you feel like has got a hold on you, but you just can't seem to get rid of, do you believe that that same power that can save you from your penalty of your sins, the same power can resurrect your bodies, do you think that power of God can help you to overcome that sin and struggle in your life? You should. You should. Why is it sometimes then we keep digging up sins of our past and letting them hold us captive sometimes, don't we? If you've confessed sin and unrepentant in your life and refuse to let it go, that's another story. You know, you need to repent and get that right. You need to deal with that. However, there are Christians who have sinned against the Lord in their life. They have repented. They've sought to confess it to the Lord, but they've failed to live in the grace of God's amazing forgiveness. I've been like that before. Even after I was saved, I had the sins of my past keep haunting me. And you know how I knew that I wasn't really embracing God's forgiveness for me and power over my sin? I kept confessing the same sins over and over that I wasn't even committing anymore. You know, God didn't forgive me. I mean, I wasn't even doing them anymore. I'd repented of them. But here I am. I'm finding myself years later confessing the same old sins. God, forgive me. One day it's like, what are you doing? I'm not doing those sins anymore. I don't want to do them anymore. Why am I still asking God for forgiveness? Do I not believe that He has the power to forgive me? When Christ rose the third day of victory over my sin, by faith in Him, we have that victory applied to us. My sin no longer condemned me before God, and they no longer can condemn me to my own conscience. I've been sprinkled by the blood of the Son of God. My past no longer must haunt me or hold me in shame and regret. And now by the power of Christ and through the forgiveness of God, we can now as children of God look at the old man or look at the things we did in the past and say, glory be to God, look what He's delivered us from, and use it to actually do good and minister unto other people who are facing the same struggles. You don't have to be the old man inside of you because his day is long dead and gone. Why would you keep digging up your sins and allowing it to hold you captive? The Word of God teaches us that when God forgives us, He casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. That's an eternal distance. East and west meet, or north and south meet up at the North Pole, right? East and west, eternal distance. You start going east, you're always going east. You start going west, you're always going west. They never meet up. God has cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, drowns them in the depths of the sea to give us a picture of how far away they are, turns His back on them, and says that He will remember them no more. The old song says, living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away, rising He justified for freely forever. One day is coming, O glorious day. Sometimes we act like a prisoner returning to the prison to pay the sin debt that's already been paid. The price has already been paid. And we forget that, and we start living like that. And then we find that we are held in sin's bondage again in our life. Your sins tonight do not need to have dominion over you, by no means, because you have a mighty conqueror, a King of kings and Lord of lords, an almighty Savior who rose again sinless, and your sins are all gone, and His Spirit is in you. Now, if you are currently living in sin and you have yet to repent and forsake, you know what? The devil wants you to think, well, there's just no hope now, you know. But you know, there's still promises for you as well, because if you repent and turn from your sins, you know, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, isn't He? He rose out of darkness, Christ did, so we do not need to stay there. He broke sin's chain so we could no longer be its captive. You are not a slave to your past, and you don't have to be a slave to your present as a child of God. You have the power by God's Spirit to overcome. Greater is He that is in you, as we've said a couple times, and he that is in the world, and greater is the Holy Spirit than that old fleshly nature. As a child of God, if you have sinned, is continually tied to you, it seems to not let go, it has deceived you into thinking that there is no escape, because there is. I kind of think of it like this. Probably some of you maybe ever had a dog, maybe had tied up at one time, maybe had it on a chain or something, or had boundaries, those electric fences, you know, that the dogs learn those boundaries. And you can turn that fence on, and they learn those boundaries, get shocked, and it keeps them in there. We know after a while, sometimes what you can do, you can turn that thing off. Because that dog thinks it's still trapped. And you know what? There's something for us to learn there. You might have a sin that it's got a hold on you. It's got its chain on you. But you know what? It's not even fastened to the ground. You think you can only go so far, but you can go much further. It's not bound. You're not bound by it. It doesn't reign over you. You are free. You are free. It has no power. You're not bound by the chains of sin. The sin that you may be in now is saying you are stuck. I've got a hold on you. you aren't going anywhere, so you hopelessly say, I just give up. I can't fight it. I can't escape it. When all along, Christ has broken the power of that chain. You are not fastened down. There is power when you live by faith in the power of the resurrection of Christ, and that His power is in us. I'm not talking about us, that we are powerful, but it's His power in us. This isn't about a trusting in self. It's about trusting in the Spirit of God, in His strength and power to overcome all of the sins that we may be struggling with tonight. Now, don't think for a moment that this preacher is preaching sinless perfection. If you listen to what I've been saying up to now, you know that's not true. We've still got the old man. Let me tell you what, we cannot live in defeat by any means. As children of God, you have the Spirit of the resurrected Christ in you. Let that sink in. I tell you what, you just meditate on that truth from God's Word. That'll change you. You have the living Christ in you. You've been given a new heart. A heart that wants to please God and glorify Him. You can overcome temptations. And you can say no to the sin that comes at you. You can walk in the Spirit so that you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can put off the old man and put on the new man that's created in righteousness and true holiness. And by the power of Christ, you do not have to live enslaved with regret and shame because of your past sins. And whatever it is you're facing, whatever sin you're struggling with tonight, there is power. Listen, there's power to be saved from the penalty of our sins by faith. There's power to be saved from the power of our sins too by faith. Christ has set you free. We are alive because He lives in us. Father, I pray Your blessings on Your Word, and Lord, I pray that You'd use it tonight to be an encouragement to Your people. And I pray, Lord, that whatever it is tonight that some of these dear saints might be struggling with in their life, things they face that, Lord, it seems like that just keep coming up, or Lord, maybe they've been deceived by a sin in their life, and they think there's just no way they can overcome it. They've tried too much, tried too hard, too long. And Father, maybe they need to realize they need to just quit trying themselves and trust in You and Your power and in Your strength. And Lord, through you, Lord, they can put off the old man and put on the new. But Lord, it is a daily battle. It's not something that's done one time in our life, but it's something we continue to do each day as we continue to grow into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Father, I pray that You would strengthen Your people tonight, Lord, that they would live in the reality of that power. And Lord, I just pray that You would help us tonight, Lord, to be comforted by the truth of Your Word. We have Your Spirit within us, and it's evidenced in many ways. And a couple of those ways is that we're able to call You Father. And another way is that we can overcome sin in our life. And we thank You for that glorious truth. In Jesus' name, and amen. Okay, Brother Joe.